So we are here at Holden Village on December 23rd, 2018 with Terry Sanderson. Terry, maybe you could start by talking about how you first came to know Holden, mm-hmm. first started coming up.
Well, I'd say back in the old days, this was 1982, there was communication was a lot different because all the phone calls were made by people that would send notes out, and then they had a someone that did their main job was to make phone calls down at the lake house at the other end of the lake. And at that time, a friend of mine named Leon Tetzloff was the guy at the lake house making the phone calls, and he was getting lots of calls. He was getting lots of requests from Werner to call people to try and get a mechanic up here, and he wasn't getting any takers. And when Leon left Holden, he came down. He was back in Brookings, South Dakota, and he said, "You ought to write to Werner at Holden and see if they want you to be their mechanic, because I used to work on his car a little bit when I was going to college." So, and I had some experience with welding and farm equipment. So I did, and Werner wrote me back, and so that's how I ended up here. And that was 1982, and then I stayed from 82 to 84. That time it was a long-term volunteer position.
How long have you been working in your current arrangement?
I got nationally certified to be as a professional mechanic and worked in Chelan for 17 years. At a commercial garage, and then Christopher Gilia recruited me to come up here. Well, first time I came up in 1998, and they at that time they were still trying to get by with a mechanic as a volunteer position, but in May of 98 they only had one bus and no luggage truck, and so they were in a tight spot.
Mm-hmm.
They were going into summer and they had nothing. So he wrote me and asked me if I'd be interested in coming up for a week or two and see what I could do. So I was able to take a week of my vacation time from the shop in Chelan, and I spent a week here working on the buses. And then when I was done, they had a luggage truck and four buses. And at that time, Christopher asked me if I'd come up here, and he said he'd pay me anything I wanted. So I thought, well, you know, that's interesting. So anyway, my son was in high school, and he didn't want to come up at that time. So eventually they got a fellow named Dale Motz I'd still come up for a week every fall and every spring. In 98, I came up in the fall for a week because I had 2 weeks of vacation, so I'd take a week of vacation time, and they paid me. And I'd come up in the fall and get the snow cats and stuff ready and do as much as I could, and then I'd come back in the spring and work on the buses and stuff that weren't running so I did that from up until 2000, and then they hired another fellow who was also a professional truck mechanic from Port Angeles. His name was Dale Motz. So they hired him in 2000, and Dale was here for 2 years. And then by that time, my son had graduated, and Dale was ready to move. So I contacted Christopher again, and then I ended up coming up here in 2003. So mostly I've been here as a mechanic from 2003 till now it's 2019, except for 1 year we finished our original tenure, and then I was back in Chelan and worked there for a year, and then I came back here the next year. And then I worked a year on the mine remediation, so...
That's right. You were working for Magnus?
Yeah, I worked for Magnus Pacific.
Okay.
They did a lot of the terraforming. Well, all of it. the slurry wall for the water treatment plant.
Tell me a bit about how the vehicle fleet has evolved in the last 35 years.
Oh yeah. Well, it was kind of, we were kind of rough and ready back in the early days when I came up in 82. Well, originally, this is what some of this stuff is what Mark Bierke has told me. Originally, they had just the, when they first started, first acquired Holden, they only had the 61 International. They bought that. Well, they acquired it, started coming up here in 61. They bought the truck brand new, and that was all they had for a long time. And that hauled freight, people, and everything for quite a while. Mark showed me a picture of, they built steps for it, and it had stock racks on it. Passengers would walk up the steps and stand in the back of the truck and hang on to the stock racks, and that's how they transported people back and forth. And there's a picture of ladies in their house dresses and pumps standing in the back of the 61 International. It's a pretty funny picture. Later they bought the bomb truck. They used that, it was four-wheel drive with a winch, and they used that to haul pipe when they were laying the diversion dam.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the, and they bought, I think that, they got that in 1967, Mark Bierke said. Gradually they acquired buses and things like that. Used to be they had a, first two buses was called the Big and Little White, and they, actually the Little White was bigger than the Big White, but they were like 1952 school buses or transit buses. They were real big and held a lot of people, but gradually got beat up and wore out. And I never saw them. Then after that, they bought, we called it the Bluebird, and it was painted blue, but I think it was fairly new. And then they bought three other school buses. When I came up here in 82, they had the Bluebird and International and two Ford V8 gas buses. And then they still had this, the 61, another utility truck. We had a loader tractor, a little crawler tractor with a backhoe, and D6 bulldozer, an old one. I think it was a 1941, and it didn't have a self-starter. You had to start it with a little gas engine to start the big engine. So it was a pretty wild contraption. It was common back in the day, but, you know, you haven't seen those in a long, long time.
We're up to, is it eight buses now?
I think we're at eight now.
Where have they mostly been acquired from?
Well, Dale Motts bought the first diesel bus in about 2000, and that was Jubilee, but it's been retired for parts now. There was one other bus that was donated during that time. It was called St. Luke. It was owned by a church in Seattle, but it was a gas bus, and used to be that was a, it would be prior to 2000, all the buses were gas. Because probably just because it was easier to find people that knew how to work on gas than to work on diesel engines, and so they were probably cheaper too. That was the fleet up until 2000, and then 2000 Dale bought the first diesel bus, and then in 2003 we heard about some buses that were being salvaged in Spokane, and some of them were manual transmissions, which is what we were looking for. Christopher Gilia and Harry Archer and I went to Spokane. They were in a salvage yard. The Meade School District had recycled their entire fleet. They sent the whole fleet of buses, sold them to a salvage yard, and bought all new buses. So the salvage yard was full of buses, and we wandered around in the salvage yard, looking, trying to find, see if there was any good ones. And originally we had, because they weren't trying to make any money off them, they were going to be sold for scrap. We made a deal with them to buy 4 buses for $4,000. Or no, 4 buses for $5,000. We went through all these buses. It was probably 100 of them. And we only found 3 that were any good. And so so we made a counter offer of 3 for $4,000. Of course, you know, that was way better than they were going to get for scrap iron at the time. So they went ahead and we went ahead and got them. And actually, you know, we spent all day, must have been an 8 or 10 hour day, going over looking at all these buses to try and get an indication that they might be serviceable. And we did find these 3 that looked like they were pretty good. Now they're called, that's Honey, Took, and Linnea. So we bought those 3 all at once. There were a little bit of care and oil changing and all this kind of stuff, and they turned out that they were good, pretty good running, turned out to be pretty good running buses. That was 2003, so we've had them for 16 years, and they were all ready, they were ready to go for scrap iron, so we've done pretty well on those. And then the other buses that we've got came from the Lake Chelan School District. There's a small one called, that's Chelan number 9, and that's, they originally, we didn't own it. They gave it to us to use because they wanted to, it was, you know, they could use it for school functions. If the students were going in and out of the village, they could use that bus. And so then they paid the insurance and upkeep on it. Now it's we've had it so long that they decided to just give it to us. And then we bought 2 buses from the Chelan School District that were manual transmission buses. And they were pretty old, and they didn't feel that they would get much money out of them at an auction because of the age. And most school districts don't buy manual transmission buses anymore. So they sold those to us for, oh, I think it was $2,700 for those, for 2 buses. So that's where all the buses have come from. There's a vehicle called the Red Box or Elijah that was bought from a state auction that used to belong to the Department of Natural Resources. And it was owned by the DNR contingent that Tom Smith works for. So he knew the machine, and he had ridden around in it as part of his job. That's basically the transportation fleet. Everything else is construction machinery and that sort of thing. All the original ones have, at least buses and stuff, have either been sold or moved out of here. Mostly they just got really old and rickety, and we decided to let them go.
I also wanted to ask you about brewing.
Oh, yeah.
How long have you been doing that up here?
Mm-hmm. Up here, I started in 2004. What happened was that somebody had given us a wire feed welder. It was a real big one, and it was on a pallet. And he used to brew beer, and he wanted to get rid of his ingredients. So he boxed them all up and tied it onto the pallet with the wire feed welder and said, give these to whoever might want it. And so I had made a few little beer, some beer when I was in college, and so I was interested in it. So I started to experiment with that, with the commercial ingredients, and I made some more, and then I decided I was going to try and wanted to try and make it out of raw grain, and then I started experimenting. So gradually, after about 5 years, I was doing okay that way. I guess if you wanted a time frame, yeah, I started in 2004, and so now it's 2019. So I've been making beer from raw grain and self-harvested hops for 15 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a good number of people have learned it from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've taught about probably maybe 20 or 30 people how to do it. Two of the staff members just made a batch, their first batch last night. They saw it, and they were having a lot of fun. So it's fun to teach people. I'm kind of enamored that there's that much interest. It's kind of complicated and can be a lot of work. So it's kind of nice to see that people are interested in doing that.
Is there anything else you'd like to share for the record?
I could go on and on forever about all the weird things that have happened up here. I have all these bombardiers, and they, in the old days, the road was snowed in when I came up here in 82, and this went on until probably they got their first snowblower in 1986. Before that, we used to, we kept the road open with that old D6 bulldozer until about the first week in January, and then there was no place to put the snow, so we had to just abandon the road, and then we'd run the bombardiers over it. That was quite an experience. Things were a lot more isolated now, and then they finally got a snowblower, and that worked okay, but the snowblower would break down a lot, and they finally gave up on that. And we finally gave up on the last snowblower about 6 years ago. It was called an FWD. I think it came from Stevens Pass. We found we were able to keep the road open with our snow plows and our road grader, and we have a bigger bulldozer now. In the old days, that was a chilly business, sitting on a bulldozer all day, keeping the road open. That's been really the biggest change as far as machinery and equipment goes. We got a lot more equipment now. Of course, in 82, we probably had maybe 20 pieces of equipment, and now we've got 50. So there's a lot of variety, and I get to spend a lot of time independently, which is kind of fun for me, because then I can keep track of where I'm at and what needs to be done, and I kind of enjoy that. I think that's about all I've got for now.